You're listening to an Insurance Journal podcast sponsored by CoreLogic. Today's expert is Dr. Thomas Jeffrey. Dr. Jeffrey is Senior Hazard Scientist for CoreLogic Spatial Solutions. He is the lead scientist on development of various CoreLogic hazard risk data sets, including wildfire risk, coastal storm surge risk, earthquake risk, and Florida sinkhole risk. And he works with many of the top 100 U.S. insurance companies to help implement hazard risk models in automated underwriting and pricing systems. Tom, welcome back to Insurance Journal.
Well, thank you very much. Happy to be here.
When we spoke last fall, Hurricane Matthew was just barreling down on the Atlantic coastline. And today we're, I think, like 27 days into the official Atlantic hurricane season start. What is the outlook for the 2017 hurricane season?
Well, we went through a period for several years where the number of storms that we actually saw was actually kind of depressed. There weren't a lot of storms. There weren't a lot of major storms. And then that has been kind of getting larger and larger. And so the forecast that we're seeing this year from most of the major prediction centers, including NOAA, Colorado State, North Carolina State, is that we're probably going to have an above normal year. It's going to be above average in terms of the number of storms, which means for the most part, the averages are 12 named storms, six hurricanes will form out of those 12, and then three of those six hurricanes will be major storms, category three or higher. And right now we're looking at the numbers in terms of predictions are a little bit above each of those averages. So we're probably going to see, we have the potential to see an active year. Now, of course, that doesn't mean these are all going to be landfall hurricanes. It means they will, this is what's predicted to form in the Atlantic, and it has the possibility, the potential to reach the Gulf states or Atlantic coast states, but we just have to wait and see. Unfortunately, nobody's able to predict where exactly or when precisely they will arrive.
Right. Now, since hurricanes pose a threat from both wind and flooding, which is likely to be worse?
Well, that's certainly a question that's been posed, you know, historically, because I think for a long time, especially when I was younger, we often heard about wind as being, you know, the devastating part of a hurricane. And I think as our ability to analyze these storms and the aftermath, what they actually did in terms of damage, the realization is there that the storm surge flooding can actually be as bad and in some cases worse. Now, statistically, we know that the flooding is responsible for more loss of life. So in the comparison in that category, certainly it's more devastating, it's more tragic because flooding can cause more death. But in terms of property loss, when you think of wind damage from hurricanes, a lot of times it's related to roofing material, siding material, windows can get blown out. And that certainly can be very costly. But when you think of how the water impacts these properties, it's almost a two-pronged approach. One is the fact that this is moving water. And so when that surge is pushed onshore, you actually have the force of that water that's hitting against static buildings and so forth. So it can cause actual damage just from the force of movement. But the aftermath of that is probably even worse in many cases because the standing water that remains in buildings that are inundated, that can be devastating because it's difficult to get that out. It usually brings in a lot of debris and mud and other things with it. So you have to remove the water, you have to remove the debris, and unfortunately that water can get into walls and certainly cause problems with mold, and some of the after effects of that can be really costly. So I don't know. Every storm is unique in terms of whether it's going to be wind or water that caused the most damage, but certainly the potential is there for either or both of them to be devastating.
Who is at risk for storm surge damage?
Well, that's interesting because whenever you think of people that live along the coast, you often think, well, maybe all of them are at risk. But fortunately, that's not the case. Really, what we're looking at for storm surge specifically, for the flooding component of this, is that it's really a factor based on where you are in terms of elevation and where you are in terms of distance from the actual water or coastline. The farther you are from the coast, obviously that's helpful in terms of reducing the risk. But if you remain at low elevation, like you would find in obviously a lot of the Louisiana coastline, where you have low elevations that extend far inland, that water still has an opportunity to move inland. If you have an area where you have elevational change, where you have a rise in the land surface as you move inland, and if it happens quite rapidly, you can actually be relatively close to the water line and still not be affected because your house or your property is elevated. If it's 15, 20 feet above the ocean level, it might be very difficult for that water, the surge, to reach that height unless it's a high category storm. With that said, we've recently published a storm surge report, which we do annually, that we tally up in terms of number of properties, and this is just limited to residential properties for the report, but we're looking at number of properties that have the potential to be impacted along both the Gulf and Atlantic. Now, you have to remember that this is a total number. It's not from any single storm or any single season, but the total number of properties is right around 6.8 million, which is, again, really, that's a lot of homes. When we break it down into the Gulf versus the Atlantic actually has more homes. And, of course, Florida is cut in half because half is the Atlantic and half is Gulf. But there are about 3.9 million homes on the Atlantic, along the Atlantic coast, that have potential to be affected by storm surge, 2.9 million in the Gulf. And in terms of, if we take it down one more notch to states, I think everybody would probably guess, and quite correctly, Florida is the state that has the most homes at risk. But it's followed by Louisiana and then Texas. And then, interestingly enough, New Jersey and New York round out the top five. Hmm. And you don't think of New Jersey and New York because of their location more northerly along the Atlantic coast. But again, you know, we don't have to go back too far in history when we think of Tropical Storm Sandy that really impacted New York City and New Jersey as well.
Right. Right. Those are staggering numbers of homes.
The interesting thing is, you know, every storm is different, and certainly no storm is going to affect that many homes all at one time. Really, it's going to take out a small section of those. Mm-hmm. But for the people in those, you know, in the footprint of those storms when they come ashore, it certainly can impact thousands of homes quite easily for a large storm.
So how much would it cost to rebuild if those homes were damaged?
Yeah, when we do our analysis, we're not trying to impress anybody or shock anybody with these large numbers and large values, because we do this as totals. And we're not saying that this is all going to be affected by, again, any storm or single season. Mm-hmm. But the total value of those homes, and again, 6.8 million homes, we're looking at about $1.5 trillion in reconstruction cost value, which is the cost to replace the actual structure, not the land value. And so that, you know, again, staggering numbers, but when you think about even smaller storms, even tropical storms when they go through, we've had several in the last decade where you have a tropical storm that gets relatively close to the coast, may make landfall, and all of a sudden you start tallying up the damage in billions of dollars. We're kind of out of the millions range as much anymore. And last year with Matthew, really did not have a direct impact in terms of a direct landfall. Skirted along the southeast coast, pretty much the length of Florida, but still the damage that was done ran into the billions, not just for flooding, but it overall ran into the billions quite quickly. So it's easy to see that even though homes in these areas in many cases are somewhat prepared for the storm, still devastating events can run up those dollar amounts very quickly.
Aren't these the storm surge areas that you're talking about? Aren't they already covered by FEMA and their special flood hazards? So, well, I guess I'm saying if I'm outside of FEMA flood zone, I'm probably safe from storm surge, right?
Well, what I can say is that you're probably safer. To say that, you know, the FEMA special flood hazard areas are the maximum extent of storm surge would probably not be correct way of explaining that situation.
Okay.
The special flood hazard areas actually do a very good job of identifying what the most susceptible, most likely areas to flooding are, not just from storm surge, but it's certainly including storm surge. But we found in our analysis, and again, we do look at these storms when they happen and try to interpret, you know, our data actually representing areas that are inundated. And we find that the water from many events goes beyond the special flood hazard areas as defined by FEMA. And special flood hazard areas, if you live in one of those, you probably are aware of the hazard because you have to have flood insurance. It's mandated by your mortgage lender that you have that. And so you're typically more aware of it. But for people that live just beyond those boundaries, because it's a hard line that delineates you're either in or out of the SFHA. And if you're outside of it, you may think, okay, you know, I'm good, I'm safe. Entirely not the case, because you can have a more extreme event that can actually push that water beyond that special flood hazard boundary. And so that's where the data that we create kind of looks at that to help homeowners and insurers and mortgage lenders identify, okay, it's not, you know, the most extreme location in terms of storm surge flooding, but it certainly is within the realm of possibility that a major event, major hurricane, can actually push that water that far inland. And I think that's important to understand, because as a homeowner, you obviously don't want to pay insurance for hazard insurance in areas where there is no hazard. But if you're unaware of your location in relation to the hazard, I think it's vitally important to know that, you know, you're prepared so that you're not caught unaware. And then unfortunately, like the people that you see after virtually every flooding event, where the media is reporting on this and interviewing people, and the homeowner will say, oh, I just didn't know I was in an area that was at risk. And it's kind of heartbreaking to see that, because they certainly could have helped their situation by knowing that in advance.
Well, speaking of that, so what should the typical coastal property owner know about the risk of storm surge flooding?
Well, I think that's the key component here. Obviously, you know, the report is dealing in large numbers and it's looking at the entire coast. And the data that we evaluate, analyze, and then put out in that report isn't going to be specific for an individual home, but it's a starting point for a homeowner to maybe start to consider, you know, am I in an area that may be at risk? Because it doesn't cost you anything to find out. It really, if you go to an insurance company or you go to a mortgage lender, they should have the resources to be able to identify whether or not you're in an area that has been deemed susceptible to this. And also to be able to look at it at a granular enough level that they know what degree you're at risk. In other words, you may not be at the highest level of risk if you were located 5 foot above sea level right along the coast. But if you're further inland from that, and I'm not talking about, you know, 10 miles or 20 miles inland, but if you're a mile from the coast and your elevation doesn't seem all that much higher than the surrounding area, I think it would be important for you to maybe question what is the risk and try to find the answer to that based on the resources that are available through insurers or mortgage lenders, and identify, you know, is this something I should be prepared for and thinking about? At the very lowest level of concern is the fact that, well, you know, my property may be at risk. Possibly I should adjust my insurance to reflect that. More importantly than that is the fact that when hurricane is approaching, and they do, you know, typically all communities now will have some type of emergency response where they will give out warnings for evacuations. If you know that you're in an area that's at risk, you know that you should take those evacuation warnings seriously. And not every storm is going to do the same amount of damage, but certainly we have the potential to see not only loss of property, but loss of life related to these storms.
Absolutely. Tom, I sure do appreciate you being here with us today. It's always enlightening. We're going to put a link to the report that you mentioned in the description of this podcast. Thanks again for being here.
My pleasure. Thank you.